Are you ready to dip in?
Welcome to the Divine Intervention Podcast. I'm Freya.
And I'm Holly.
And we're here to guide you through spirituality, taboo topics, and everything in between.
We'll dip our toes into some topics and dive deeper into others. Nothing is off the table.
This is a safe space for you, our listeners, to learn, grow, be inspired, and open your heart and mind.
Get ready. Let's take the plunge together. Welcome back to another episode of the Divine Intervention Podcast. We are up to episode 8 today, and we are talking all things menstrual cycle magic.
Yes, Dippers, we are so excited to talk to you today about all things menstrual cycles. This is obviously a big topic throughout many lives, and it's something we deal with from a very early age. And we're so excited to chat a little bit more about how the first experience was for us, how we are currently feeling about having a cycle, and how we can work best with our menstrual cycle.
Yeah, and I think that there's a real spiritual component to the menstrual cycle. I know that I've kind of gone through my whole life just being like, oh yeah, it is what it is. I get a period every month. But it's only been the last few years that I've been trying to look at it from a more spiritual point of view, a more beautiful point of view. You know, it enables us to procreate, to carry children, and it is a really beautiful cycle, and learning to love it is something that I'm still working on.
For sure. There's definitely a shift that happens at some point in your life where it goes from being this super inconvenient, annoying thing to also seeing the positive sides of it. So definitely important topic to chat about today. And we hope that you guys can resonate with us on the stories that we have and the experiences. Both of us, by the way, have a little bit of a cold, so we might sound slightly congested. So we're very excited, but it might sound a little bit more slow today, which is good too. Let's honor it.
Yeah, a little bit croaky. We've got our sexy voices on.
Sexy voice. Yes, let's talk about cycles.
Okay, let's get into our card pull of the week and our astrology news. So, Freya, which card did you pull for our listeners for this week?
So the card for this week is the Hierophant, which is one of the major cards. So big life change, big energy, and an important lesson that may be there to learn. Maybe for us at this current time, spreading out over the next couple of years, or it can be something that will come back throughout the course of your life. So the Hierophant is all about learning, getting new experiences, broadening your horizon, and dabbling into a little bit more the higher intuitive side of yourself. This card often shows up when you are being invited by the universe to dive a little bit deeper, to connect more with your ancestors, with the higher forces out there, to really explore that side. On the other hand, also a great moment for you to pick up a new studies. If you want to learn a new skill or if you want to change the course of your career, this is the time to do it. The Hierophant is saying to you, everything's in your favor to learn. Keep developing yourself and keep developing your skill. It often also shows up when there are spiritual teachers about to come into your life. If you meet someone that has all this ancient wisdom, see that as a sign to connect with that person and to take their skills to help you grow and develop. It is also a very traditional card, which can often hint at marriage. So this may be marriage for you, or a deeper commitment in a relationship that you're already having, or maybe your family and friends around you. So it's a very traditional card which says to you, put your head down, try something new. It's a great opportunity to learn. Never stop learning.
Amazing. I feel like this is very resonant with the astrology news, as always. Last night we had a new moon in Gemini, so that fits perfectly. That's Gemini is all about learning new things, absorbing new information, being the eternal student, all of those things. And so the new moon is inviting new things in, so setting intentions. So if you haven't done that, you can still do it today. The new moon energy is still in the air. The other major thing that's happening this week astrologically is the sun is moving into Cancer. So we are almost in Cancer season, and I love Cancer energy. It's really, really beautiful. So Cancer is a water sign, more intuitive, more emotional. And I think that this is represented in that Hierophant card as well. You were saying, you know, lean more into your divine intuition, lean into, yeah, that inner knowing.
For sure. Feel free to be vulnerable. Open yourself up. Maybe in certain situations, you already have preset judgment. Cancer and also the Hierophant are inviting you to look a little bit beyond that, to see if there's maybe another side to things as well. And, you know, I love Cancers. They're just the sweeties of the zodiac signs, aren't they?
They really are. But yeah, and it's all about Cancer is the nurturer, ruled by the moon, so very nurturing. And during this season, Cancer is asking you to look after yourself. You know, Cancer energy loves to look after others, but during Cancer season, we also need to pop that focus on ourselves. So showing ourselves self-care, self-love, slowing down, prioritizing our needs. Cancer energy loves to be at home, be in the comfortable space, snuggle up on the couch, eat delicious food, all of those kinds of things. So this is what Cancer season's asking us.
I love that. And showing up for yourself is also very much linked to a Hierophant. If you've been thinking about trying something new, or you have a dream of a certain career, or you want to learn something, this is your sign to do it. Show up for yourself. Mm-hmm. Show yourself love and commitment in the way of pursuing your dreams.
Beautiful. Such amazing guidance for the week ahead.
The week ahead. So let's dip into menstrual cycle magic today. It's been a long time since I had my first period. I'm 28 now, and I was 14 when I got my first period. And I remember it very, very vividly. We're going to dive into that a little bit, our stories of when we first got the period. But I just want to say that this episode is for everyone that can resonate with it and that it has a period. It is something that we have to deal with for almost the whole course of our life, or at least a big chunk of it. And it is this topic where there is this stigma around it. Sometimes put on by others. We've all heard that, you know, like men sometimes making comments like, oh, how inconvenient you're on your periods, or oh, blood is disgusting, that's dirty. But also put on by ourselves, like how often, I can definitely tell this has happened for me, that I was like, ugh, like I don't want to be on my period. This is so annoying. You know, when you're on holiday and all you want to do is swim in the ocean, and then on the first day of your holiday, bang, there it is, the period, and you just wish it would go away. Over time, that can change, and we really want to try with this episode to show a little bit of light on the more beautiful side of it, as well as how you can really learn to live around it and make it as comfortable as possible for you. However, not everything in life is meant to be comfortable.
Yeah, for sure. I think being able to embrace your cycle and work with your cycle is really beneficial. Just like you, Freya, I have definitely had my times over the years where I've hated having a period, you know, school days and going on school camp and or going on holiday or having swimming class. You just go, oh, why is this happening to me right now? I think that there's a lot of negativity surrounding that. And for myself, I really want to work on taking that negativity away and having a more positive light and really embracing it more with my cycle.
100%. And I feel like this is something where society can really step up as well. I feel like when we get older as women and we feel more confident in our own bodies and in who we are, it's easier for us to step up and to say to our work or family and friends, look, I can't be there today because I have really bad menstrual cramps, for example. But I feel like when we were younger at school, I was not able to say that. Maybe to my parents, yes, but not at school. We've all had moments where we had to go to PE class and we did not feel like it. We were super low on energy and we were young women going through the change, already learning mentally to accept that you have a period. That's already a huge phase to go through. And then not being honored by the people around you, because they would always just say like, oh, come on, you're just trying to get out of PE.
Yeah.
Which is not right. And hopefully over time in society, this will change a little bit. So I remember when I first had my period, I was 14 years old. I just remember it started at night and I started to get these crazy cramps. to the point that I was like worried. I was like, what is going on? I was already in my own bedroom at the time, and I remember walking to my mom and I was like, Mom, wake up, wake up. I'm having such bad cramps. Like, what is wrong with me? I thought that maybe I had like a bowel infection or something. I was like,
oh my this gosh. Is,
you know, obviously the bowel is a very different part of your body, but I was just like, what is going on?
But at 14, you wouldn't know the difference. You'd be like, I've just got an extreme tummy pain.
Exactly. It was just so strong. And I remember my mom instantly saying to me, like, I think you're going to have your period, because that is what it sounds like. And I just remember sitting on the toilet for hours, like waiting for the first blood to drop. Oh. Like, just like, like, is this going to be like this every time? Because I had so much pain,
And it's scary too when you're a young girl.
Exactly. Especially when you're around that age and you're in puberty and your hormones are just racing everywhere and it's just this inconvenient thing. And then having to explore that after, like having to use pads and then slowly moving on to tampons. It's all scary. But it is a necessary part of being a woman, of course. But yeah. I don't know if... Do you feel like people around us can do a better job in preparing us for it? Or maybe even in the way of... I don't know. Like, how they view the period.
Yeah, I mean, when you say people preparing us, you mean like our moms and like the older generation?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I feel like my mom definitely did say like, this is what's going to happen and I can help you with this. I just feel like it's... It probably makes sense because most of us don't have children around 14, 15, 16, most of us. And it's totally okay if you do, of course. But most of us don't in society nowadays. So the beautiful thing about having a menstrual cycle is that you're able to reproduce. But that is not the focus nowadays anymore, because I believe that maybe back in the days, like all those years ago, it may have been a celebration like, oh, yes, you're a woman now.
Yeah, and you're ready to birth a child.
And you're ready to birth a child.
At 14.
At 14. But that is not what we do in society nowadays. So I feel like there is no real appreciation when you get a period when you're young for like, oh, like now you become a woman, because you do not feel fully grown. Or I definitely did not feel fully grown. And the last thing that was on my mind then was having children.
Of course, of course. And I feel the same. I was 12 when I first got my period. And I remember saying to my mom, this is really unfair. Like, why do we have to go through it? And she said, you know, it's a necessary part of being a woman, or, you know, someone with a uterus. She said, you have to deal with this every month and you just have to, you know, deal with it and get on with it, basically.
Yes, you just accept it for what it is. This is just it.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, why can't there be a switch? Why can't there just be a button to push to then get your period when you're ready to have children? Because at 12, I was just like, I don't want to have a baby. I don't have a baby for like at least 10 years. So like, why do I have to go through this? But, you know, it goes back to ancient times. And as you said, women were having children a lot younger. Yeah. So our bodies kind of bring on the period whenever your body wants to start that cycle.
Yeah.
And for myself at 12, I remember just being a bit like, oh, I was in primary school at the time. And then just like having to figure out the pads and the tampons. And like, I was scared to use a normal tampon. And so like my mum got me the applicators and I just was so off it. I just didn't want to do it. And I was trying to get out of swimming class and all that kind of stuff. It just wasn't about it. And I remember actually my mum telling my dad when I first got my period. And I felt like at the time it was maybe something to be ashamed of, or it was taboo. It was like, oh, I've got my period. It's a girly thing. Like, keep it to myself. And when my dad kind of said to me, I don't remember, maybe it was at the dinner table, oh, so your mum, you know, mum's just said that you've got your first period. And I just remember being horrified. And I looked at mum, I was like, you told him.
Yeah.
And she was just like, well, yes.
Did you feel betrayed in a sense, or like, or ashamed, or what was
it? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I felt a bit betrayed. I'm not sure. 12-year-old me probably did, because it was more like, this is a women's thing. Why did you tell a man, kind of thing? But then dad's very good with this kind of stuff. You know, he was just like, you know, it's a part of life. And I just remember feeling a bit icky about the whole thing. Just, all of it was overwhelming.
And that might be the way society can be as well. Like, we definitely all had a fair share of moments, like I said in the intro, where people may have put a little bit of judgment on us, like how inconvenient that you have your period. If you would have like, how would you call that? A leak through?
Yeah, a leak.
A leak? if you have a leak, like that is something that a lot of people are would be very ashamed of. Mm. People would say it's dirty, all sorts of things, and that already put that stigma on it, that it is something that you need to be ashamed of, even though it isn't.
Yeah, I remember in grade 7 when I first got my period at 12 years old, I think I was playing, you know, tag with some of the boys or whatever. And then one of the girls we were playing with ran into the girls' toilets and just to like get away from the boys as a game. And one of the boys made a comment like, "Ooh, I'm not going in the girls' toilets. It's all like periods and stuff."
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so as from a young age, it kind of sets it up that periods are yucky.
Yes.
And it's something that the girls have to deal with. And it's something that shouldn't affect normal life. So it's like, you know, you keep it under the rug, you keep it hush hush, you don't really let anyone know when you're on your period, and you just get on with it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that I took with me into sport. And I did athletics for a long time, and day in, day out, no matter whether you were on your cycle or not, you rocked up to training and you got the work done. And I remember one day rocking up, and I was on day 1 of my period, very low energy, had my cramps, I think I'd taken a painkiller, and I said to my coach, "Look, I'm on, like, I've just got my period, I'm not feeling the best." And my coach was a bit like, "Well, you know, just get through what you can get through."
Yeah,
very much like, you know, world doesn't stop just because you've got your period.
100%. And that is really the stigma that is around still at most places. Look, I'm not saying that we should all get a week off everything.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't that be nice? Well, I wouldn't mind it, but
one of the progressive European countries does that. I feel like, yes, it's Denmark or somewhere
Sweden,
like that.
Probably Denmark, yeah, Sweden. Yeah.
Every month they give their staff who have periods, they give them 2 to 3 personal days to honor the cycle.
And that is amazing, because that is really what you should do. We will go into this a little bit later, but when you get your bleeding period, you should really slow down and take the time to rest and honor your body. And this is something where I can improve personally as well. I feel like, just like you, throughout the years, you're just used to getting on with it, sucking it up. Even though you have cramps, you're still going to show up, do whatever you had planned. For me, I'm trying to implement the last couple of years, like, no, if I feel run down and tired and moody, I'm going to honor that, because it will really benefit you and give you more energy for the rest of your cycle as well.
Okay, so let's dip more into our cycles. And I think one of the main things we just want to mention is that everyone has a different cycle. Everyone's cycle looks different for them. You know, someone might have a 27-day cycle. Someone might have a 32-day cycle. Someone might be very irregular, like not quite on top of it and can't quite keep track of it, and it catches them by surprise. Some people get a lot of pain. Some people find it quite cruisy. Some people are on contraception, and that also affects the cycle. Yeah, what do you think, Freya?
Yeah, I think obviously this episode is for everyone, and we just, yeah, really want to amplify that there is no specific cycle that is perfect. Everyone has an individual own experience. My personal experience is that I went on anti-conception pretty early. It must have been a couple months after I got my first period. And it was mainly because I had those really bad cramps. And the doctor said, if you go on a combined pill, which I think is just the standard pill, then your cramps will become much less. And that was very, very true. And it was definitely, it served the purpose, because that was what I needed then. Like, I didn't want my life to be ruled around my period at the time. And at this point, the cramps were really bad. Like, I wouldn't be able to do anything for a couple of days. So that's why I went on the pill. Then as I got a little bit older, and this is actually only 3 years ago, so I probably had been on the pill for 12 years at this point, somewhere around that mark. So
yeah, it's a long time.
A very long time. And I know that a lot of people out there go on the pill like as soon as they can, like very early. Yeah, so I actually figured out by some luck that I was not supposed to be on a combined pill, because I can have migraine with Aura. So just for everyone listening, if you have migraine with Aura, consider this your warning. You should not be on a combined pill. That is because it increases chances of a stroke. So migraine with Aura, for those who do not know, it's a form of migraine where you lose your vision for about 15 to 20 minutes. And it is caused by, I think, a drop in estrogen levels.
This sounds terrible.
It's not as bad as it sounds now. Like, we all have to do we all have things where we work with. I used to get it like about once a year when I was on the pill.
It's scary.
But it would always be around that time that I would get my period or when my body would drop or whatever it was that the pill was sort of, you know, regulating at that time. Yeah, so the combined pill wasn't really working for me anymore because of that. And in the beginning, I used to just automatically take the pill without really thinking it through. It was just a normal thing to do. Everyone around me did that. So I just did it without thinking. As I got older, I started looking a little bit in other ways of anticonception, or is there a way that I can put less hormones into my body? And I also was really curious to see, how will I feel if I'm not on the pill? Because the one I was on was quite heavy. So for all those years, I had so many hormones. And it can really change your mood. So anyway, for me, I needed a different solution. So I went off the combined pill. I swapped to the mini pill, which is quite a bit different. So when you're on a combined pill, that is not a natural menstrual cycle. So I had been on the pill for about 12 years and I had no idea at this point what my natural cycle looked like. So I knew from reading and from other people around me that it could take a long time for your period to come back after you've been on the pill for a long time. When I say period, I mean your natural cycle. So for me, it took about 1.5 years to even get a period. And at the beginning, I was like, oh, this is great. I don't have a period and I don't need to take a pill every day and I'm not taking the hormones. But definitely becoming a little bit older, I'm not 14 anymore.
Yeah.
You're starting to think about in the future having children and you do need a natural cycle to have that most of the time if you want it naturally to happen. So after a little while, I was starting to become a little bit worried. And I wanted a natural period to come up again. I went to see the doctor and the doctor said, look, it can take a long time. And it can also be that while you're still on a mini pill, even it's microdosed, sometimes people do not get their period unless they fully go off. But then eventually my period did come back, but it's still quite irregular. My cycle is definitely not the traditional 29, 30 days. And it really depends as well on other circumstances for me. If I'm very stressed, if I'm not eating properly, if I have been sick, these are all things that can delay that period. And that is just something, a whole new experience to go through. Because all those years being on the pill, I was just used to having my 28-day cycle. And I knew on the dot when I would get my period.
And you could skip it if you wanted.
And you could skip it as one. And believe me and my friends, we did plenty of times. We would never have a period on the holidays. And now you're really experiencing that it can, for me still, just come up sometimes. Like I know roughly like this week or the other week it's probably going to happen. But it can throw you off by surprise more.
Yeah, for sure.
However, I do feel for me like I feel much more balanced than when I was on the pill. I personally do not have strong symptoms. I get cramps about an hour before I have my period and I feel low in energy. What about you? What is your story with anticonception and pills and periods?
I feel like I'm quite similar to you. I was probably on the contraception pill for at least 10 years, I think. I liked knowing when my period would come, just like we said, and I never really could skip it. My period kind of put up a bit of a fight with that, but it was kind of like clockwork. You knew when it was going to come. I got to the point where I felt like I wanted to come off it and get back to my normal cycle, and it has taken a while. I think my body's still adjusting, so it's probably been 3-4 years now, maybe even 5 years since I fully came off it, and it's like I'm relearning my cycle. It's like my body's giving me all these different symptoms that maybe the pill was masking for that time.
Yes, for sure.
And it's kind of a whole new ballpark for me because I am getting all these different things. Like, you know, I can tell when I'm ovulating now because my boobs are really sore, or I never really used to get much period cramping, but now I actually get it quite severe. So there's all these things that I'm getting used to, my emotions. So yeah, I feel like I'm very happy to be on a natural cycle now. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being on the pill if that's your choice, but I'm very happy to be, yeah, back on my natural cycle. I'm learning to manage it and I would like to work with my cycle more, help reduce the symptoms a little bit and kind of live more in alignment. Yeah, and just have a bit more flow to it.
Definitely. And I feel like, obviously, like you already said, there's no right or wrong here. If you want to be on the pill or any other form of anticonception, totally fine. If you are tracking it, if you always had a natural cycle, everyone just do whatever suits you. I feel like I am now in this phase of my life much more ready to honor my period and to deal with the symptoms and to learn my natural cycle than I was when I was 14, 15, 16.
Absolutely.
So for me, the pill 100% served a purpose in that point in time. But yeah, let's get into how we can learn to work with our cycle more.
So Dippers, something that I have been looking into recently is something called cycle syncing. And it's actually a term coined by a lady named Alyssa Vitti. And it's all about living in alignment with your cycle, honoring it. It's about honoring that your body has its own innate wisdom. It has its own intelligence. And if we actually stop and listen to our body, it can help us flow through life and it can help us regulate our periods a little bit better and deal with the symptoms. And it's all about honoring the four different phases. So Freya, do you want to tell us a bit about the four phases?
Definitely. Well, it's your inner winter, spring, summer and fall. And let's just walk through them from the start. So the first phase would be the inner winter, which is the time that you're actually bleeding and probably the first 6 days or week of your period. Once again, this difference for everybody and whatever your cycle is, it's perfectly fine the way it is. So your inner winter, when you're bleeding, this is also represented by the wise woman and the visionary archetype. And this is really the time where you go inward, where you reflect on your life and on your feelings and on your emotions, and where you really want to honor your body. This is the time where our hormones are at the lowest in the whole cycle. So you will likely feel tired and wanting to rest. This is not the time for hard exercise or planning it full with new ventures or busy long days. If you can, take this time to really slow down, sit with yourself, sit with your feelings, and make sure that you communicate this to the people around you. Because this is the time that you should not be showing up for everyone else. You should be making this a very good time for yourself.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a time to slow down, rest, honor that your body is busy menstruating. And so no wonder you don't have any energy for anything else because it's literally busy shedding the lining of your uterus. And yes. So we need to honor that fact. Instead of being like, oh, I'm just so tired, I'm on my period, we can honor that by saying, okay, my body's sending its energy elsewhere and I need to help it out by slowing down and eating some warm, nourishing foods, having some more rest, maybe canceling a few social plans, yes. Maybe backing off on the exercise. So maybe just some gentle walking, some yoga, lots of sleep. And yeah, like you said, Fry, really telling everyone around you so that they can support you as well.
Absolutely. This is also the phase for some more alone time, spending time sitting with your feelings, doing whatever makes you feel good. Have a long bath, have a massage. If that feels right, just slow it right down. It's called winter for a reason. This is the time when we retract and hibernate. Yeah. And that is exactly what you should be doing now.
What would you say, Freya, is your kind of go-to thing to do when you're on kind of like day one, day two of your bleed?
What I definitely, I'm not necessarily have things that I do, more things that I do not do. So for me, I definitely do no type of exercise. If I have classes or anything booked in, I cancel them. I want to rest. I spend more time at home watching my favorite series. Like you said, having a warm, hearty meal, really slowing right down, sleeping a lot, if that's possible, having a couple longer nights, having a nice warm bath, just really relaxing, winding down, maybe do a little carpool, go inward really a lot. This is also a time where I'm quite vocal to my partner and I'm saying, I'm on my period. Please do not ask too much from me. Because I can't be here for you. I need to honor myself fully.
Yeah. What about you? For me, I when I feel my period first coming, I definitely try and rearrange my schedule to kind of open up a little bit more space and flow so I can slow down. Like you, I communicate with my partner and he's so supportive. He goes and gets the hot water bottle for me. If we don't have any chocolate in the house, he'll run to the shops.
I was going
to
say, this is a chocolate phase.
Oh, yeah. He'll get me my favorite, comfort food. He'll usually, then we'll cook, like a hot, nourishing kind of meal. And I then just really take that guilty pleasure of laying on the couch and watching some TV or just listening to some nice music.
But this is not a guilty pleasure.
I know. Well, this is the thing. So this is where it's different. We
I
need
got
to like
out here.
Hardwire. Yeah. I think it's like, this is a whole different topic, but I often feel guilty when I'm just sitting on the couch watching TV because I feel like I should be doing. And so I'm trying to go, no, when I'm on my bleed, when I'm in my winter, this is what's meant to be. But you caught me out. I feel guilty a lot about that kind of thing.
Well, I know that you know, it's just like a saying, a guilty pleasure. I know that you probably didn't mean it that deep. Yeah, we feel like a lot of the times that we need to be on always, that we always need to show up, that we always need to be productive, that we always need to do all the things. I personally struggle with that as well. For example, here, and now we go a little bit off topic as well, but in the Netherlands where I'm from, the climate is quite different than here on the Gold Coast, right? So we have much colder winters and just a colder climate in general. I noticed that it was much easier for me to honor my winter there and really go inward because it's cold and you know you don't want to be outside. But there's something about the sun shining outside that makes you feel like, I want to go out, I want to do things. So this is definitely a challenge for all of us to really honor that winter and slow right down. Because after the winter, things are starting to heat up in our inner spring.
Yeah, so the next phase is our inner spring. It's also called the follicular phase. And this is where we're starting to get more energy back. The hormones are starting to shift again. So I think it's a really good time to start introducing some more movement into the body. So, walking, running, maybe some Pilates, that kind of thing. And it's a really creative time, I believe, Freya.
Definitely. The archetype of this phase is the goddess or the maiden. And this is, like I said before, hormones are rising, energy are shifting. We have been in hibernation, we have rested. Now we're starting to get ready to show ourselves to the world again. Have good productivity, try new ventures, really branching out there. It's like a refresh, like a new start. So this is not exactly the same as the next phase, which is the summer when we're fully out and about. So try to keep that balance here between having time alone still a little bit with yourself, but also going out in the world a little bit more and becoming a little bit more active. Just be careful to not overdo it, especially not like the first day after you come out of your bleeding phase, as your body still needs to
recover, transition
into this. Yeah, but it's a beautiful transition period.
Yeah, for sure. And this is the time when I think we're feeling the most inspired and where there's more ideas flowing in. We're quite creative. So this is a really good time to put pen to paper and start to get those ideas down and think about maybe what we want to do in our summer phase and just brainstorm. So I think it's a really creative time.
So then after spring ends, we are ready to burst out in our inner summer, which is the ovulation phase.
The action phase.
And the archetype for this one is the mother or the healer. Obviously the mother, because we're ovulating this, so this is a very fertile time for most of us. But the healer, because this is the time when hormone levels are high, we have lots of energy, and we feel like we are ready to give to others again. To nurture our relationships, to nurture our communities, but also to nurture our projects that maybe we've thought of in the spring that we want to see come to fruition and come to life. So this is a very action-packed, expressive phase where we are really shining bright.
And we're feeling more confident. We're feeling more on track. We're feeling more capable. And so I think it's important to honor this part of your cycle, and if you can, work your social calendar around this. So, if you've got big dinner parties that you want to host or be really social, really put it in during this ovulation summer phase, because that's when you've got the most energy and you can handle that kind of load.
Definitely. This is your creative, playful, flirty phase being really expressive and just super fun in general. I feel like most of the people that experience a menstrual cycle will feel at their best during this ovulation phase. This is really like the peak of it all, where you just feel great. It's also a way where often we feel like we can see clearly what we want, and we are good at communicating clearly what we want. So this is a time to ask your partner for certain things, or to try and change your work situation. If you need help, to ask for it, because there's just this lovely nurturing energy around it.
Definitely, and putting some things into action.
Mm.
And opposite, the summer being opposite to the winter, instead of like those warmer, heartier foods, which we can eat all through the cycle, but during the ovulation, it's a really great time to eat lots of fresh fruit and veggies, lots of nutritional veggies and fiber, to really nurture your the changing hormones through that phase as well.
Definitely. After that week of summer and our ovulation phase, things start winding down in our luteal phase, which is also known as our inner fall, which is the last and the fourth week of our cycle. This is when things start slowing down. You will notice that your hormones start to lower, energy levels start to drop. And this is the time when you can start getting already a little bit more of those menstrual symptoms. I know that people with PMS, this is the time that they can really flare up. This is a time where we can feel moody. We don't want to give as much to others as we did during the summer phase. We can't keep giving our all to everyone. This is when you want to turn inward a little bit more again. The archetype of this phase, though, is the wild woman or the enchantress. And that is because it is said if you really honor yourself during this phase, you can really be super creative and just have these insight and be super intuitive and let the body move and flow and, yeah, just have this creative outburst.
Yeah, beautiful. And I think it's a nice time to kind of tune into that intuition, getting ready for the winter, getting ready to slow down again. So it's a great time to start maybe wrapping up some projects, start finalizing a few things so that you can have your winter in peace. For me, the luteal phase can be quite brutal. I notice myself getting quite irritable. I definitely notice some breakouts in my skin. And emotionally, this is probably when I feel my worst. It's almost like when my period actually comes, it's a relief. So yeah, of the four phases, I probably struggle with the luteal phase the most.
Yes.
And I'm probably only saying this because today, on the day we're recording this, I think I might be in my last day of the luteal, because I'm literally waiting for my period to come any day.
Exactly.
And I'm almost waiting for that relief.
Yes.
And so yeah, I'm just feeling that urge to slow down. I'm feeling that urge to kind of wrap things up and go inward and honor myself a bit more.
Yeah, but the lesson of the luteal phase for you as well is that you really need to embrace those symptoms that you are feeling. And this is hard because, like you said, this is often the time where we feel the moodiest, the most irritable, and we have these symptoms like cramps. But apparently, if you really embrace it, and instead of being like, oh, like I feel horrible, I don't feel right, I'm so moody, oh, I wish I didn't have that, oh, no, no. Where you're like, yes, I am moody, but I'm a woman and I'm here to reproduce and I have this beautiful gift. That is when the enchantress phase come out, and where you can become really creative and can actually have these mental clarity breakthroughs where, you know, I want to embark on this new creative project. I want to do that. So if you crack the code, then there is a way for you to still birth something creative and new into this world and feel really empowered doing it in this phase, even though things are slowing down.
I feel like I'm tapping more into my enchantress lately because I'm communicating with my partner, and I spend the most time with him, and he's well aware. Sometimes he realizes that my period's maybe a week out before I do based off of how I am. But yeah, I think that communication of, hey, this is where I'm at, this is how I'm feeling, but this just is just how it is. You know, I'm not going to apologize for it necessarily. Exactly. And he's very much like, noted, like, I will buy the chocolate, I will get ready. Like, it's okay, you can be a bitch to me, it's so fine.
Holly is actually holding up like prayer hands while she's doing it. So I'm just picturing Ryan being like, yes, yes, I get the chocolate, yes, I do the cleaning.
Yeah, well, and if I'm a bit snappy or if I'm just kind of a bit stressed and not quite handling myself that day, he'll just look at me and be like, come here,
yeah,
have a hug. Like, he just understands, and that means so much for me. So I encourage everyone to really communicate with the people around them so that you can have that support. Because when I'm feeling a bit crabby, a bit on edge, maybe my skin's not very clear, I'm not feeling myself, having someone nearby that knows what you're going through and is just like, hey, you look beautiful today, come here, give me a hug, off you go, you sexy thing, have a great day. It like really helps me.
I love that. And exactly, communication is key. When you're vocal about it and open about it, people will show up for you more as well. All right, so today we spoke about the menstrual cycle magic. And I just want to touch a little bit on the subject of last week, which was the moon cycle magic. Dippers, you're probably listening to these two and thinking, oh, all the cycles, I need to sing with all of them. That is challenging, which I can totally understand. For the majority of the people, the menstrual cycle doesn't necessarily fully day-to-day align with the moon cycle. And that is totally okay. I think the core of both the cycles is diving inward, getting to know yourself, and honoring yourself more. And that is really the key to it. So just see what you can do with both of them. See how you can honor them both a bit more. And this doesn't need to be you sitting down, or maybe if you feel comfortable doing this, but every phase of both cycles writing out, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, honoring this. Just flow with it. And maybe just start with noticing how you are feeling. Maybe just spend a little bit more time inwards. Oh, I feel really moody today. I'm a little bit like agitated. What is going on? And then check up with your menstrual cycle and your moon cycle. It might be a full moon coming up. It might be that you are in your luteal phase. It can be any of those. So yeah, just try and work with both of them.
For sure. And I think they influence each other too. So you and everyone's going to have their own experience because they'll be on their own cycle journey.
Yes.
And being influenced by the moon differently. You know, some people feel the full moon more than others. And so, yeah, it's a really individual journey, but it's about applying that love and acceptance and knowing that our menstrual cycle is a beautiful spiritual cycle for us.
100%. And it's all about the divine feminine and intuitive side of things. And that doesn't mean that this is only for women, because everyone and every person has that feminine energy inside of them. And it's just working with that creative, intuitive flow.
Something that I heard or read once somewhere, I can't quite remember, but I found it really interesting about a way that you can try and align more with the moon cycles. And it's to do with reducing your exposure to artificial light and technology and getting back to the natural roots of the sun and the moon. So they say that if you, first thing in the morning, if you get out of the house and get the sun directly in your eyes, that will help your body wake up and connect with the sun. And at night, use a red light instead of a bright artificial light, you know, and reduce time on computers, reduce time with TV. They say it really helps your body connect back to the earth and help that menstrual cycle connect more with the moon. And so I feel like, Freya, this would be a really interesting experiment if you were able to like go out bush and not have any technology, not have any artificial light, just a fire, and then camp basically, and then adapt your lifestyle to rising with the sun, and the sun hits your face when you first wake, and then going to bed not long after the sun goes down, and only seeing only having a night light as fire basically. I wonder how long it would take for your menstrual cycle to connect back with the moon.
I wanted to. I think it might be a couple months or something, but I do think there's a really nurturing aspect of that, even doing that for a short period of time. We personally love to go camping, and this is exactly how we live when we go camping. We always have an unpowered side. We're just somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and we rise with the sun, and we go to bed under the light of a fire and the moon. And it's just lovely. Like, those are my favorite ways to wake up.
Exactly. And I think basically the whole premise is about getting away from technology, you know, and it's all the artificial stimulation, and it does affect our menstrual cycle, you know, because our body kind of gets confused. If you're having bright lights in the middle of the night, maybe your cycle's a bit like, what's going on? Is it daytime? Like, I'm not really sure. But yeah, just something interesting I read and something to keep in mind if you want to kind of get a little bit more natural connected to the earth.
Absolutely. And maybe a good little tip that you can implement literally on every day starting today is when you wake up, take a moment to go outside and do not grab your phone instantly.
Definitely. And don't grab your sunglasses and just have the sunshine on your face and just connect with, yeah, connect with the outside world a bit more.
I love it.
Yeah, amazing. Well, I loved talking about this today. It's definitely something that I am going to try a lot harder to work with my body, not against my body. And yeah, it was great chatting about this.
I love this too, and I can't wait to align with all these things a bit more. Until our paths align again,
we'll see you at the next dip.